Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends and neighbors, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Boy, as we stop and think about it, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we, in the good old United States of America. In fact, for my coffee tonight, I'm going to show them later, I got just the right cup for it, too, because it's getting cool out here now as winter's coming on, and some of you have shared you've got snow, so I know you got cold weather, too. Getting into that Thanksgiving and Christmas season, thoughts about our country and all the great traditions that we have and all the things that we have to be thankful for. Speaking of which, all of you know that we are blood-bought, born-again believers. Now, what do you mean by that? I just mean that we believe the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could someday be with him forever in heaven. And the greatest thing that we often say that'll raise your expectations every day is that we know where we're going when we die, and we know what we're happening every day in our lives right now. We know what will be happening as we trust in God, because Jesus is with us every step of the way, and he's only a prayer away as we talk to him each day. So I hope you've been talking to him and thanking him for the blessings in your life and bringing the difficult times to him, because he loves you. And he will work in those difficult times to glorify himself, and in doing so, bring fulfillment into your life in a way you could never imagine. We've got a great program set up for tonight. I know you've been reading about it, because I do get those texts back from you looking forward to the program each week, and we appreciate that. We never take for granted the fact that you are here and watching us across the nation and many, many places. So many things happening with people that we are praying for and talking with in Uganda, and two special school missions there, and what God's doing there in the lives of all these students and their families. It's exciting. You know, anytime you start praying about something, you need to strap in and hold on, because it's going to be more exciting than you can imagine to see what God is doing. So tonight we have with us, as you know, two of our very favorite friends. We're going to get to them in just a moment. They're part of the family that you will know. First of all, I want to introduce our team to you. And just as I do this, you know, each week as we go through this, so you might like to know them even more, if you go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll be able to read about, as you'll hear later from Steph, who the people are and some of the things in their life, and to be able to follow some of those things as we bring attention to them. So as we go to the West Coast, which is no longer, it's still holding out trying to be the Left Coast, but we're going to pray it out of that old tag to the beautiful West Coast again. And you'll find there that we have Dr. Paul Hall, who is in Lompoc, California, just north there of Santa Barbara. And Paul is a retired pastor. He's a great man of God. He's an educator. He is a teacher. He's a writer. He is people, someone who people go to, that he's always there to bless and to help them to be actively involved in their lives. So it's good to see you, Paul. We've been buddies for 55 years.
55.
Good to see you, man. 55 years. How'd that happen? I don't know, but it did. In any event, we're 55, both of us going on 45, so we're still plugging. But if we together join across and head back to the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast, when we get to Dalton, Georgia there, you'll see that we have with us Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer, there in Dalton, Georgia. And Steph, as you know, you'll find them on our website also. Steph is a health and wellness coach, yes. And on top of that, she now has a website which she calls Live Your Life Out Loud. You can find that. She helps women across the nation in counseling and basically praying with and being there for and guiding them in God's word as a friend. She's a friend to these people and wants to be a friend. It opens the door for her to be able to share and to talk with them. And she's got a great ministry going that way also. So Live Your Life Out Loud. You can see it there on the website with different times that she's dealing with people. I know my daughter reads this just about every week there in Ohio, and you'll want to check it out and see what's happening there on her site. So that's Steph there, and she's there with her great husband there, Dr. Tank Thayer. He's the one on the left. And that's right. That's the one. She did a real good job on you. You came out good. Good work, Sam. But good to see you, Tank. Tank is a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. He's the guy that goes to the trouble before people know what to do and says, I think we need to do this, always after he prays to them first about what he is going to do. So Tank is the surgeon there, but you'll also find something exciting. He has a new book out, and it's called Saved. And it's the story about his life. It's basically a trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles in his life. And I love the tag there, finding God in the ordinary, because God is always working in the ordinary things of our life. That's where he does his greatest work, and that's where we need him the most each and every day. Saved is the story of what happens to him. You want to read it. You want to find out about God, how he works. You'll find in God's word what he says. And you'll also find just above his book there, Saved, on our website, my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. And that was written by me under the leadership there of my mentor, Zig Ziglar. That was a sermon series that I did in Hebrews. And the beginning of the great faith chapter there, the 11th chapter, and it produces an authentic a hope that is based in Christ, and it's a relationship with him in your life that'll take on anything the world throws your way. So you'll find it there also. So if you get together with us tonight, you'll find out too. This is kind of funny. I think I'm going to tell you. You know, we just love Ron. Ron is one of our team members, and he works for Man in the Mirror. You can find about the story about him there in our website, also for Raising Expectations. He's the area director there for Man in the Mirror in the McKinney, Texas location where he is. And he is quite a guy, as you know. He's got quite a background running for Congress and things that he has done as a Marine and also as a pastor. So Ron is doing a film series with right now with Man in the Mirror, and he was all set. They flew him back to the studios again. I got a text back from him today, and he shared with me about the fact that he was ready to go. He had a layover set at the airport. He showed me his ticket. He had no more layover period, so bless his heart. So he was running to get to the planes between. So he'll be back next week. Don't worry. We miss him when he's gone, but we sure pray for him. We know he's doing a great job of what God's called him to do there. So we're thinking about you, Ron. We're praying for you already back there in the Washington State area. So we'll be praying for you. So that kind of puts together the team here. And we have two of our favorite friends in the world that you've seen quite often on our program. She is a dyslexic specialist. Her written works have been all over the world, and they use extensively for teachers across America. And we want to welcome Dr. Marianne Anderson. Her husband, Will, an incredible godly man, Cintron, and they're coming to you tonight from Southern California, actually Glendora, California. I think that's where, good old Glendora. You probably know where that is, folks. That's big on the map, and Glendora. And they are a tremendous couple. They are so well known and loved for the way they serve Jesus, for the way they minister to men and to women at either church there, and the things that God is doing in their lives in blessing and helping people. They're a tremendous couple, and we're so thankful for them. Most of all, they're friends to everybody here. You know this, and friends to everybody that they deal with. So we want to welcome them tonight. We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to welcome them on. And then I'm going to share a thought with you and pitch it out there. And I'm going to let them We'll let them go first. What do you say, gang? And they could jump in on this. But let's have, as we do, the world-famous round of applause, which is much better. I told you a week ago, and somebody actually commented on that and said, how did you know that? That was true. Whew, that was good. I was glad I took a wild shot. But a lot of the 20th Century Fox went woke, and so we don't do the 20th Century Fox intro anymore. We do the famous round of applause. So let's bring them on. Cintron, it's good to have you with us again. And there you are. And
Hello, thank you.
Will on the left, Marianne there on the right. And as we're heading away, maybe say a word for them again about what you do, and then we'll kick it to you. I want to say a word about what we're going to do tonight.
All righty. Thank you for all those pictures you shared of us. We've had quite a journey over the past couple of years. So I am a dyslexia specialist. The Lord gave me a dream. He called me a dyslexia expert, and it was way more than I could hold on to. But then I see how he writes about Gideon, that Gideon is a mighty man of valor before he really was a mighty man of valor. So God had a plan for my life to work with dyslexic children, but also to train adults, whether they're teachers, speech pathologists, ed specialists. I have training programs to help you learn how to work with dyslexic children, some training videos that we created during COVID. And then I have digital files that I give free access to. So we are starting again. This year has been a health challenge for me. And so the Lord's had me chill a little bit. And the health is improving and improving. And Stephanie has been instrumental in her guidance and counsel. And I don't know if any of you recall, but 3 years ago I had cancer. And God healed me of cancer 3 years ago, and it wanted to come back this year. I had a hysterectomy 3 years ago, so it wasn't good, can't come back that way. But it wanted to come back different ways, and we just are resisting that and praying against it. And my numbers for the marker are in the normal range again. Praise the Lord. And it's just been a lot of building up my immune system again. So I started tutoring today again, and I didn't want to I was thinking the tutoring was over. So I'm glad God's opened that door. I have about four families knocking at my door for help because the schools are still not addressing dyslexia. So that passion has been burned in my heart again to be there to tutor, but also to train. Let's get training the adults so we could reach more kids.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Stephanie found you and you're helping them and brought you to the program. That was great. Thanks again, Steph and Tank. And well, we're going to do something tonight that'll fit right in with that. And we're sure glad you're feeling better. And that, again, is answer to prayer as we pray for you and will each week. And somebody had commented on this, and I did write it. One of the greatest men in the history of our country is George Washington. Now, we may call him the father of our nation and things like this, a lot of names. Many of you probably visited Mount Vernon and walked through the history of his life and the great man that he truly was, and a man who walked with God. And it's really something. President George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789 was the first presidential proclamation of Thanksgiving given in the United States. Of course, later Abraham Lincoln and some others. But George Washington, what he had been through, he called the new nation. I won't take time to read it, but it's really something. The new nation he called to stop and to thank God, the Almighty, as he said, and for the guidance and for guidance for the future, for his protection and guidance through what they had come through. And Washington had so much to thank God for. Of course, if you could stop and think about the great winter, what he went through there at Valley Forge and everything else. He and the new fledgling United States of America, he called to look back to God and what God had brought them through and what God was doing for them. And the plans, like you said in your life there and others have shared, the plans that he had for this nation. And I believe that we have seen the plans that he has for this nation reignited in many ways in what we just had on November 5th on this election that took place. whatever your association, whatever your background might be, Republican, Democrat, Independent, I think the call of America for what it stands for was given again to get certain things out of the way that are superfluous, that are downright silly, I'm going to say it at times, but that take people away from remembering who God is, what God has in store for this nation, why he was with our first president, General George Washington, and why he has guided America through difficult, difficult times. You're looking at a bunch of history nuts when you look at all this group, because we love finding out. I know Tank and Paul's the same way. If Ron was here, his head would be a bobolink right now, because so much history and so much has been bought to see the hand of God come down and work for the nation in the direction that we have, and also to work in individuals' lives, like Mary Ann just said, for healing and blessing and the touching where we need. And that old saying is so true. God allows us to go through very, very difficult times. And what we face, earthquake, that was not an earthquake, don't worry, that was just a cord. But we did get them here. But really, he allows us to go through difficult times only for the duration and the length of that time, until he has us right where he wants us, to empowered, redirected, retuned, and ready for the next part of what he's calling us to be and calling us to do. If we knew what God wanted us to do, we may just step back out of fear. We may run ahead of what he's doing. We never want to fall behind. We never want to run ahead. We want to follow the steps of Ephesians 2 that he prepares for us before the foundation of the world as to what he would do in each of our lives. And each of you listening, the expectations of your lives, those are the steps. And he will walk you through those steps. And then you will find a great word at the center of your life. It's called fulfillment. The only fulfillment you'll ever find in this life is being all God wants you to be. So that's Thanksgiving. It's all about that. And this year, oh my goodness, the things you have to be thankful for. Our president-elect, President Trump, the times he's talked about the bullets of Butler, the Butler bullets, I call them, what he stops and thinks when that went by that close. And he says, God saved my life for a reason. And you know, he did. And he saves all of our lives for a reason on a daily basis. There's a purpose for it. So it can be, as we think about Thanksgiving, I just like us to spend a few minutes. I'm going to pitch this back to the Centrons first, and then Steph, as a mom, and you know, in a home and all these things, I'm anxious to hear this about the home and the family. And what does Thanksgiving mean? And maybe in two arenas, growing up, and then also in your home now with your kids as they were growing up, what were things about Thanksgiving, maybe one or two thoughts to start with, that just blessed you and you never forgot and maybe touched them? I'm done. What about you all?
Okay. I'll start. You know, growing up as in a Catholic family, being with family was very special. After going to church on Thanksgiving morning, we'd go to my grandmother's on the farm. And my grandmother toiled all week making pumpkin pies, and her patio on the farm was with pumpkin pies. And the adults would sit at the nice table with all the china, and then the kids would sit at the other tables. And we had so many grandkids with paper plates. And we just had fun with family getting together. And being on the farm, there was a lot of activity to do outside, play on the equipment, the farm equipment. But we have very fond memories of growing up on the farm with family. Family was central. And it's central now as we gather together. I consider Thanksgiving my favorite holiday now, because it is a time of giving thanks to the Lord. He's central in the gathering. Whereas Christmas, people lose sight of who it's all about, right? It's about the food or the family or the presents, and they forget it's about Jesus. But so Thanksgiving has, this year especially, has become my favorite holiday, because we're actually going to host it. And it is about the family gathering and about the tradition of food and decoration. And I'll share a little bit more a little bit later. But Will, do you want to share about your?
growing up in New York, and when we had Thanksgiving, it was just us, my mom and dad and my brother and myself. And, you know, turkey, but we're Puerto Rican, so we would always have, you know, some some nice rice and beans, or arroz con gandules, pasteles. I mean, just I miss that. And but we always, we lived in an apartment, and so you would always see your neighbors, and sometimes you pop over to them, or they pop over to you. And my neighbor next door, his name was Al Gonzalez, and they had I say a large family. I think there were six or seven of them, and but the mom was always working. I mean, she would make the turkey, put it on the table, and they would pick at it. And I remember walking in one day, and there was this carcass. It was picked down to the bone. So those are the things, I remember. But just always, Thanksgiving was special. Just to be, again, it was just us, most of the time. And but just holidays that you just don't forget. And my dad was the cook, and so he just killed a turkey. I mean, not kill it, kill
Yeah.
Cremation. Cremation.
It was good. So, and I
Man.
just
Man.
enjoy hosting it here. And last year, our daughter made the turkey, right? She made it. And so now this year we're making it here. And I'm trying to hand off the carving duties to my son. So
There you go. Yeah, that's a big deal.
it's over. He did
Yeah.
he did carve it last year. He tried to get me to do it, and I just refused. I said, no, you got to do it. Here's the carving knife, go for it, so
There you go. That's a big deal. That's cool.
That'd be
How about
interesting.
you? How about you, Tank and Steph?
Ladies first.
So I grew up in Northern California, and the majority of my family lived down in Los Angeles. And so we would go down for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But my parents had this little old Toyota pickup truck, and when we would drive down to LA, they would put the cab on the back and throw my mattress in the back, and I would just lay in the back the whole drive down because only my parents would fit in the front. It was great. I loved it. I would just play games and read in the back. And I was the only child really in the family. My brother's 10 years younger than me. So I loved going to Thanksgiving because my mom's generation had a whole bunch of cousins. And so the house was just full of lots of people. And it was my chance to be with other kids because all the other family events, I was the only kid. So it was more serious. And it was so much fun. I loved that. And then that particular family, they moved to Vermont. And so they stopped hosting. So then another family member picked it up. And I loved going to their house. And I was a teenager by that point. Because that cousin married into a Jewish family. And so they added in, like, it was the first time I'd ever seen kohlrabi and, all these other foods, but they loved playing games. And so that's where I learned to play Settlers of Catan. It's a really good game if you've never played it. And so we do hours and hours of that. And it was good. I loved the childhood memories were fun. I didn't have to do any cooking. I would help sometimes with dishes, but that was minimal. So for me, it was a real win. And now, we pretty much since we've had kids, we've hosted. He does the turkey, thank goodness. He smokes it in the smoker. I don't have to pay attention to any of that. And usually everybody brings a dish, so it's actually not hard. Like right now, our house is full of family members. We've shoved them in every possible corner. And just really being together, and we still carry on the tradition of playing games. We do a lot of word games, and we're very competitive, so everybody gets into it. And then there, you'll hear across the kitchen, "You didn't start playing without me, did you?" And so it's a whole thing. I think it's just more about being together. Cooking wise, the desserts get going, and that's probably what we'll start tomorrow. And we have an excessive amount of desserts, but somehow they all get consumed. I don't know what happens.
Are your boys the official checkers on that, or is Tank cover that duty on
Yeah,
the desserts?
one of our sons and my brother are the ones that are really into the cooking, and so I don't know. They're making brownies from scratch and ice cream from scratch and pies. And I just show up and eat it. They changed the menu up this year, so we'll have to report back. It's not our traditional menu.
There you go. That's great. I love it. That is great. Dank.
So for me, you know, I lost my parents when I was 18 to 20. So the first tradition that I really noticed was really simple. It's the taste of the stuffing. Mm-hmm. Every family's stuffing is slightly different. And in the East Coast / South, they don't do stuffing, they do fixins. And I'm sure it's very similar the way they differently make their fixins. But yeah, so it was that was just not the same every year in other people's homes. Mm-hmm. As far as current traditions, I got to move away so I don't get hit. I do smoke the turkey, and I have to describe how I do it. I have a barrel. It's like a 50-gallon oil barrel that's been applied to smoke. So you have rebar across the top, and then you have hooks. If you need those, or you can set a platform so that you can set the turkey on the platform, and it's charcoal and wood. So in order to maintain the temperature, you have to open certain ports and close if it's too hot, etc. So it's very labor intense. One year, it was only one year. Very cold outside.
Only one year?
It was like in the 30s, below 40s. And it started to die down. And my turkey wasn't done yet. So I needed to stoke the flames. So I borrowed a hairdryer.
Borrowed.
Her.
Yeah.
And somehow it mildly touched the barrel, so it melted a little bit. I'm not sure I've ever been forgiven for that.
I'm not the only one you've ruined. And actually, I blow dry my hair like twice a year. The boys also take it. So anytime I know it's missing, it's for some science experiment, which happened to be a turkey, but it could be for anything else as well. So
yes. There you go.
Many a hair dryer have died, not by my use.
It didn't really die. You could still use it. It just was.
I think the boys killed it with some project.
Yeah, they
funny.
Oh, well, Thanksgiving every year is get a new hair dryer. That's good.
We upgraded him. When we moved across the country, he got a fancier. The newer smokers, they have apps and you can set them and they're very simple. But how he started was very manual. He also had to sit outside pretty much the whole time that it cooked. So I like the new ones because he gets to hang out with us more. And
Yeah. You don't have to.
Be good at the games.
Yeah. Amen. Smoked turkey. Oh boy, that sounds good.
You know, one of the blessings we have when we host, we've got some cousins who are single, a sister who's single, another cousin who her husband doesn't like to travel. So that would make me think, you know, like you and Paul, do you have homes to go to? You know what I mean? It's nice to welcome single people into our home as well as the kids with their better halves or their
all the littles running around too. Yeah. We always have friends. We take any stragglers. I think we may end up with a random college kid because I told the boys, you tell them anyone you know if they're not going home, you bring them over. Right. You know.
Yeah, that's it. You know, when I was a singles pastor up in Northern California, we had about 700 or 800 singles, and we did that. They used to set them up because they didn't have anywhere to go, and I tried to team them up with families out of the choir. It was a giant choir, and so a lot of those could do what you're saying, and it meant more than you could imagine. Very, very, very special. Yeah, good idea. Paul, what about you, senior?
Well, I tried smoking turkeys for a couple of years, but they were too hard to light, so I gave up. I grew up in the Midwest in a little farming town, but my family, they weren't farmers, but we had farmers in the family. But I think the thing I remember the most that Thanksgiving was a time we all just kind of came to grandma's house. We called her granny, and she was rotund and just had a great time in the kitchen. And we called it stuffing because you stuffed the turkey with it, and you let it cook, and then you took it out. Now I understand that'll kill you, you know, if you put the stuffing in the turkey. But I can remember the cousins. In the Midwest, cousin was an important word. Not so much, I guess, on the coast. We don't use that. It was my cousin. But when the cousins came, it was a free-for-all. And we were all kind of sort of the same age. So it was just a lot of fun to get together. I can still just close my eyes and I can remember the smells of the kitchen and what that was like and how good it was. And Marianne, when you talked about the kids table and the adults table, that's the way it was. We were off to the side but we had a great time. Both my parents passed away this year, and this will be the first year in 75 years, you know, that I won't say happy Thanksgiving, you know, to mom and dad. But I'm so thankful for the heritage that they gave to me and the seeds that they planted in my heart. And the way those all of those memories have a way of continuing to mold my life. And I think I understand my life better by looking back on it than I do anticipating what it might be. And just so those memories are so sweet, you know, as they come up. They were not always fun. The cousins liked to fight, and we'd club each other, and, you know, it turned into a big free-for-all at one point. We were fortunate if it snowed on Thanksgiving in the Midwest, and as it often did, and that led to a big snowball fight. You know, so it was a great time. This year, I'll stop at this point. This year, Kelly, my wife, and I are going to go down to my daughter's in Murrieta, where she lives. So it's Wednesday. We'll leave Wednesday after Kelly gets off work, and we're going to fight the LA traffic, you know, the night before. Mm-hmm. So we may camp somewhere along the way, but we're going down to my daughter's house. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandkids and just having a great time doing that. Shannon, I talked to her. Name's Shannon, and my son's name is Sean. And I talked to her this afternoon, and she said, "Dad, I was thinking about having mashed potatoes, but I scratched it off the list because I'm having three other kinds of potatoes." I said, "Good choice, you know." So she's doing the cooking. I'm excited, you know. It's going to be fun, and so those are kind of things that, you know, they always come up in my head. This is my favorite season of the year. I just love this. I love this season from Halloween all the way through the first of the year. No. And I just got to share one other thing. Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. There have been times when I've been the only one in the living room watching it, but that's always a neat thing because not only the memory, but I like to watch what's going on and things. But that was just a part of growing up, was the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And so I'll be in front of the TV early Thanksgiving morning watching the parade. Should be fun.
Amen. I've watched it for a long time, and most of my family, not all of them, but most would go for a long walk morning or mid-morning because we know how much eating is going to occur. And so that's kind of been a, you know, a friendly harassment that occurs among the family.
Yeah. Amen.
Some Thanksgivings where, you know, growing up in New York, you got to go to Macy's Day Parade, you know, being cold. I mean, Bridget cold.
At that point, were all the windows were all done too, right? The displays.
Oh yeah, all the stores.
New York at Christmas, there's nothing like it. If you've never been, the window displays that all the department stores do are over the top. They're just beautiful. So I imagine being at the parade is something else.
Like an art show.
Yeah.
Expect to see Frank Sinatra or some of those guys come out singing Christmas songs, right? When you see New York set up that way. Or Bing Crosby, some of those famous movies filmed along there in the 40s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. I got a couple I can remember that were really something. First of all, when I was a kid, you remember when you were the kid, like Paul said, and And we had neighbors that were Japanese, and they were wonderful people, just loved the people, and went to school with them. And they came up for their first American Thanksgiving dinner with my mom and dad and Weed and Joe Robbins from Texas and some people. And so we had all the traditional, you know, that we always had. We always had the sweet potatoes with the marshmallow top. You know, those are definitely so good for you that you have to have those. And then we had, oops. And then we had the other things that went along with those. But since the oldest gentleman there was Yukio Kako, and that's definitely Japanese. That ain't Irish. Yukio Kako. So he came in, and so my dad gave him the honor. And he was sometimes, they were wonderful people, wonderful neighbors. And so he was going to cut the turkey. And he was so serious. I'll never forget this. So serious. So we took that big knife that my dad handed him, and he's looking at it and everything, and he had it like this. My dad was showing, we just cut the side like that. And you see, because he loved my dad. My dad and they were real close. And he goes, okay. So he goes, put his head like this, brought his head back with both hands on the knife, goes, whoa, brought this knife over the top of his head. He goes, whoa, like that, brought the knife down, and he says, I fooled everybody, didn't I? Dead serious. The whole table. I never forgot that. He never cut a tank, but he brought it down like this. He says, now, how'd you see you do that again, Don? Show me again. So that's one I never forgot when I was a kid. But then we developed something that's an old New England. My family's from New England. New England favorite was cream cheese and green olives on celery. And you spread the cream cheese and the green olives, and you mix it all up, and you put it on celery sticks, and you design them, and it has to be really good for you, because I eat it my whole life, so you know, it's fine, not thanks, no problem. But they're really, really, really good. So that the tradition we brought on, and then when my kids were young, I had a huge table in the dining room, big gold thick table that Dr. Bealey helped me get, was the senior pastor. And my kids were real excited. Now, I had two girls and a boy, and they were always at it. The boy was the youngest, and Amy Jo, you know, was the oldest, and then Courtney was 2 years younger, and then John. And so, anyway, they were real excited and happy that day for Thanksgiving, because I always was telling them, Thanksgiving, something's going to give you wonderful memories. And they'd always have a verse, you know. We didn't turn into a service. They'd always have a favorite verse. And then we had the turkey, and we'd cut the turkey and all that. And he said, and I'll never forget, they said, you know, to me that we did something to make this really exciting. You'll never forget this. And I didn't know what he was getting to. Without going any further, they lifted up the tablecloth, and in that beautiful oak table, they had each carved their names in the table so that we would remember their names. Carved right in the table about that long, right? I love that. And right in front of their seat, because they had regular seats. And what are you going to say? You know, they everybody looked at me, you know, because, you know, and so I looked down and I said, wow, like that. And then they said, we did a good job, didn't we, Dad? My son. It looks good, huh? You know, you still remember? They're still in that table somewhere, carved in there. Wow. So, yeah, so, and now this Saturday, and I'm done. Amy Jo's making a huge one in Ohio there for her grandkids and her family and all. And the favorite thing on the menu will be the, we call the cream cheese classic with the olives on the celery, and that'll be all set to go. Oh, there was one last thing too at the table.
Are you flying out there?
No. Okay. I'm going to be here. And they had, they would always look down at the table, and we love dogs, you know. And so, what good is a Thanksgiving dinner if the dog can't be a part of it, you know? So they even had a special thing for the dog, you know. So the dog would be under the big table and everybody's around, and they would, you know, and the mother was not real happy with that, but they would feed under gifts bites to the black lab and the little beagle dachshund mix. So they were there too. So we had very formal, very, very ornate, as you could tell. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Never forget, those were very, very special times. And so thinking about that, one last thing for all of us, I was You might have something you want to say. Somebody else have one they want to say on that?
I wanted to ask favorite desserts.
Favorite desserts?
Yeah.
Anything that started with A. Well, A pie, A cake, A chocolate chip cookie.
You guys went to the...
What about you?
But just for
I know, but I'm sure you got it early.
Yeah. Well, pumpkin pie I always thought was really good. Yeah. Pumpkin pie and whipped cream. I guess the old Yankee side was always pumpkin with the whipped cream on it. And that was very, very good. So, yeah.
I wanted to share two other really sweet memories. One was when we were having some financial hardships, and maybe some of your listeners will relate to this. We were real involved at the church, and we would actually help with stocking the boxes of what would go to the families. And we got our kids involved when they were young, and we would drive in the vans or in the trucks with other people from the church and deliver the food to the families who needed it. And we in turn would get food for our, you know, for helping, but there was just something very nice. And you know, when you are helping other people without food and just being able to pray with them, they're so thankful. And then as the kids got older, we started, instead of saying a generic prayer, we would pray Thanksgiving scriptures, because the Psalms mm-hmm. are filled with prayers of yes. Thanksgiving. So I would write out, you know, what people would read. And I used to print very neatly, I guess, or put it on the typewriter or the computer. But we would read the scriptures, and that was our prayer. And then I think over the past 5 years, we've had so much to be thankful for that we just gather in a circle and people share what they're thankful mm-hmm. for before we sit down and pray. And it's really interesting because I always think the kids are going to want to say something really brief, and they share the most.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to sit down at the table and know that your kids have these heartfelt thanks for family, for tradition, for getting together, and for the Lord and all that he's done in our mm-hmm. lives, keeping people alive, keeping people healthy, you know, moving people in our lives for jobs, yeah. for promotions, for special, yes. you know, special things happening. So,
amen. And the way they word things, the way God speaks to all of us through them is really powerful.
Yeah.
Very incredible. When I was a school administrator, Christian High School, I used to take our kids and go in a 10-block radius all around the school, because it was an older part of town before we moved and built the other one. And we used to go to every house and bring good news to them that way, and get the name of the family, what their needs were, and we'd bring them an entire Thanksgiving dinner. And the parents would put in, the parents put out, we like 86 homes took full turkey dinners, and the parents, they provided everything, just like you're saying, which was very, very special. To do it in the family is the message, and hopefully they then carried it out, like you're saying, to their classrooms, which was an extension of what they did at home, like you did. I think that's neat. Steph, you had a thought there?
No, not really.
Okay. I thought you had one running there.
I will say, being in the South is, you know, their fix-ins are different. So this year, mac and cheese is on the list, because every family in the South does mac and cheese. We've never done mac and cheese. We're going to make that. But we cut some other classics. They had to go. Like the cranberry never gets eaten. So off the list, right? And it's kind of fun to mix it a little bit.
Yeah, the yams are marshmallows.
Yeah, the yams are never, they're not cutting it.
But mac and cheese is three different cheeses.
Oh, we always had the turkey and the mashed potatoes with the whole skin in it, and the old-fashioned New England way. Everything that my family ended up doing was from New England, and then they would put that together that way. And then, of course, the cranberry sauce. A lot of people like the real cranberry. I kind of liked it just sliced, but there'd be a little of that for everybody too. But the main thing is what they like, huh? And being together for the reason and the purpose, which made it very good.
Turkey gravy.
Yeah.
Marianne makes a flan. And it was my dad's recipe. So, and for many years, I did not like flan. And I don't know why. I think it just, to me as a kid, it just didn't look tasty. And then one day, I decided to have a taste. that was it.
Those are good.
My dad taught her, showed her how to make it. And every time she's made it, from the first time, she got closer and closer. And now she nails it. I mean, it's just the way my dad used to make it. And we actually had some yesterday. We went to a friend's church and we had a little potluck afterwards, and she made flan. I had two pieces. We didn't take any home because she's going to make some more.
Cheese flan. So it has the eggs and the milks, but it has like a fourth a cup of, or yeah, a couple chunks of cream cheese. And we blend it in the blender. It gives it a smoother texture. It's really good.
Oh, that sounds like it's good. Yeah, your family were, did you say, had Puerto Rican heritage too in New York, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did they, real quick, how did they feel about the Thanksgiving American history, the story of the back in school when we were little? Did they like that?
You know, growing up in New York, I mean, you know, it's, you know, you have Columbus Day. That's a holiday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
And, you know, you have Thanksgiving and, you know, it was just a thing. It was Thanksgiving Day. And what do you do on Thanksgiving? You have a turkey.
Picture him like a pilgrim dressed up in kindergarten as a pilgrim.
And, you know, it was just, being Puerto Rican, we were American, you know.
Amen.
You know, the tradition was, you bring your heritage foods in, you know, so.
Yes.
You know, so that's.
Yeah. That's what our
certain foods you didn't have all year long. And then Thanksgiving, man, you knew you were going to have that pasteles.
Yeah.
To look forward to, you know. So some of that stuff just made the day even more special.
Well, my dad grew up in Nashua, New Hampshire, which is, you know, the Queen City in New Hampshire, Manchester, and then Nashua. And they're still there, a lot of Schofields. And, of course, he grew up in a town, and they were in Nashua, and they were each section, all-American section. There were the Poles, there were the Italians. Mm-hmm. There were five sections. I can't remember them all. They all grew up, and they all did everything. And they were very proud of their heritage, which was, makes America so great. And they were also proud to be Americans. And they, by the time they got to high school and played sports and did things together, you know, they'd have nicknames and everything else. It was one of the most beautiful parts of being an American, I think, is truly the picture of the melting pot. I'm an American, and my heritage is this. Wow, that is so cool. That's what makes it this way. Because I knew some Puerto Rican kids that I grew up with, Mario Monterrubios and a couple others. And it was so special. And I tell you, that to me, that's what America's about. So when I see the flag flying, that's what made us World War II and World War I, the Doughboys, when we took off. I mean, that's what America's about. So what they started with the Pilgrims, you know, carried right through. And let's keep Columbus Day rolling, folks, for all our Italian friends, too, in New York, right? There's a lot of them there. A whole bunch.
The neighborhood I grew up in was mixed. So, you know, if you went over to, you know, Italian, Irish, German, Puerto Rican, what else, Jewish, Cuban. So anytime you went over to somebody's house, if they were cooking something, they know.
Oh, yeah.
Let you have a little bit of this, you know. So, you experience a little bit of everything. I love Italian food.
Oh, amen.
They're fixed too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was just going to say, thank God we're equal and that we're not the same, right?
Amen.
Food. If we all had the same food,
life
would be not nearly as good as it is.
Yeah. It'd be boring.
It'd be very nice.
It loves me because it sticks to me. It adds
We need variety.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's exciting to see what all the different restaurants. Let's keep them going. Let's be proud of our heritage.
I wanted to show you this cute little menu that
we
put together. So, yeah, we have a big pot blessing. We've got Polish sausage going on, tamales, turkey, tri-tip, One of the latest things is the charcuterie board. We have somebody bring one of those. So we have appetizers, but we have all the traditional turkey and the dressing and the mashed potatoes and the sweet potatoes. So it takes a nice effort of all the family to do this.
How
And you just
fun.
look at it from year to year. What do we want to change? Who wants to bring the same thing? You want to change something up? You keep it easy on us, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's like my mother. Always the only thing was the same always was the candles had to be in the same place. One tall candle on each side of the turkey, and the turkey was in the middle, and then everything else went around. And boy, did it go around. You just kept going. Sometimes I said, "Would you wait a minute? I want to eat what I put in my place. Keep passing, 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 and it would be coming." But
Yeah, how full we make our plates, but we can't really make a dent in them, huh?
yeah.
So much variety, but so much food.
Hey, there's so much on this plate by the time we eat it, right, Paul? That I just feel like I'm not going to worry about getting out of this chair for a while because I don't know if I can get up, right? There's so much on it.
Amount.
See, if you go to college and you live in the dorm freshman year, there's a course that you automatically take in the cafeteria, how high you can stack your plate. It's just a phenomenon, and I'm really skilled at that, so I can glue things together with the gravy, stack stuff over the mashed potatoes as if it were mortar. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
just the
don't like my
right.
feet touching, so that cannot happen.
Oh,
Yeah, it's not meant to go together. It can't go together.
And we have
that's
vegetables.
really fun.
We have one person bringing a vegetable. We do have a vegetable tray, but the vegetables get skipped more. I mean, the carbs. I mean, that's what
Starch. Yeah,
Thanksgiving is,
everybody.
right?
Which is how you end up with four potatoes or whatever.
Herbs and
Yeah,
dressing, yams. Yeah.
so
Now there's street corn. My daughter likes to make street
Oh,
corn.
yes.
So good.
Yes.
Adding some new little
Absolutely.
flavors and recipes in there.
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're sure talking about great things right now, especially when I had a Taster's Choice organic frozen heat in the microwave dinner, but real quick. But anyway, that was good for me too. Sure doesn't hold a candle what we're talking about. But we want to thank you for being a part of the family and watching tonight. And Stephanie, would you share a little bit about? There's lots going on now, I tell you. And you may be watching us tonight from the Empire State Building. There's lots happening. We'll be sharing with you.
I know.
But
If you're watching
yeah.
from New York, we're so excited that you're tuning in to us. Thanks for hanging out. If you want to catch up on prior shows, learn about us, just learn all that there is to learn, you can head over to the website, which is
That's right, yeah.
bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there at the top, there's different ways that you can donate and give. We always appreciate that. It does take money to make all things happen. There's a fancy little QR code there if you want to just aim your phone at it and click. And you can also contact Pastor Joe directly if you like to do snail mail way. We have quite a few donors that like that. And then as you continue down, you'll see prior shows. And actually, we just had a guest, Scott Turner, who just got nominated for one of the positions in Trump's cabinet.
Right.
We had him on in August. You can
Housing,
scroll
urban
down.
development. Yep.
Yeah,
Housing, urban development. That was it.
you can scroll down and listen to it. It's a great show. You can just find all the different things. Oh, look, I think, look
There it
at
is. I put it
thank
up.
you, DJ.
I put it
So
up.
right there, you can listen
Go
in.
beyond.
We're just really blessed with who the Lord brings to this program and how he lets them shine. The conversation that we had with him is just really beautiful, by the way, and how the Lord works in and through people. And then you can see here, there's different ways to connect with each of us as co-hosts and just learn a little bit about each one of us. And even farther down, you have Pastor Joe and Craig's book that you can grab at all the main places that they're sold. And then if you go all the way back up to the top, you can actually listen live to the show. And BBS is wonderful to us, and they have all kinds of great programming you may also want to listen into.
Amen. Thank you, Steph.
Yeah.
They do a great job. And folks, like we said, what's that thing called again? The venue square? What's that called?
It's called a QR code. I don't know
No,
what
it's,
it stands for.
I don't either. It's just quality to remember
You go like
something called
this,
QR
and
code.
yeah.
That's it. You just take a picture of that and Seriously, folks, we appreciate you very, very much. And we're watching our time right now. But if there's any way you can help, we sure could use it. And we appreciate it very much to keep going. We're excited. New things are coming this year. And we'll be sharing more and more with you. Thanks, Steph, for sharing that with us. And do check out the new homing welfare. What's the name? Housing and Urban Development Director, Scott Turner, very good friend of mine, good friend of all of us now on the show, and you'll want to see what happens. And happy Thanksgiving to every one of you. We want to pray the Lord blesses you, meets you at the deepest points of your knees, and may you have a great and a special Thanksgiving day. God bless and keep you. Thanks, Marianne. Thanks, Will.
Thank you.
And we'll continue those prayers. Check the website for information there, Marianne. She's got we gave you the website to reach her also, and it's on there. And you'll want to start seeing it. It's right there, Dyslexic Solutions. Take a quick picture. It's right there for you. And you can see the material she's got there, and you'll want to make sure you've got it. You can even watch those right there. Just hit the button, and it's ready for you to watch. So God bless you again as we look at the time. We want to make sure we get out. We want to thank BBS Radio for what they mean to us. And we want to thank TJ Newsom, who is our engineer. He's the best young engineer that there is anywhere. And we appreciate it. To our friends in Africa tonight, God bless you and keep you. To every one of those precious young lives that you're ministering to, we hope we can do even more in the future to be a part of and supporting and helping you. So, okay, in New York, all the Italians too. How do you say it? Rivederci? No, that's not it. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Yes,
New York.
Buenos Aires.
Yeah, ciao. No.
Sorry, Will.
Yes, Jackson, though. Y'all come back now.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Grace and peace. We love and all of you. And thank God for you. God take care of you all. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Raising expectations. Let me know. Keep us posted how he is raising you in all you say and do. We love you all. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.